Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Jason Hall, and Brandon Johns.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings. Throws it. Fakes the spike. In the end zone. Touchdown. Whoa. Whoa. He has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Good Friday afternoon to all of you. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Jason Hall to my left. Brandon Johns behind the board, making everything happen. It's wonderful to be with you guys today to wrap up this fun week that it has been. Kind of put a stamp on SEC Media Days and preseason rankings and projections and all that whatnot. There was a trade that happened yesterday when we were off the air. Carmelo Anthony was a Hawk. Less time than Mike Price was the head coach at Alabama.
I think he's still technically a Hawk. I don't think he's been waived yet. I think it's more so that they're speculating that he'll be waived and they'll just eat up his contract to get rid of him.
I don't get it. I don't understand
it.
Why? No. I don't get why they're not going to keep him. I don't get why they're eating.
No, I don't get that
either. $27 million.
I think they just wanted to get rid of Dennis Schroeder so badly and take that one 2022 draft pick for some reason.
You pay $27 million just to get rid of a person?
I wouldn't. Well, depends.
Must be nice to have that kind of money. We'll start looking for Brandon for help on that part.
Shout out to Jamie Gertz and her husband, I guess.
I guess
that we found out a few months ago owned the team.
If y'all don't know who that is, she was the actor in Twister. She was the therapist, Bill Paxton's wife, or soon-to-be wife,
yeah,
in Twister.
Yeah, she was in a bunch of 80s stuff, too.
Yeah, but I'm more worried about
Twister.
I know
the Blues movie, her and that kid. And
yeah, I don't care anything else besides Twister.
Yeah. There's another big one that I'm forgetting, but whatever.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was in so many good movies. Sorry.
R.I.P.
The rankings came out today. No surprise, Georgia is voted number one. They had 271 first-place votes. South Carolina second, Florida third, Missouri fourth, Kentucky fifth, Tennessee sixth, Vanderbilt seventh. I have a problem with these rankings. We're going to talk about them today. I don't particularly like the way some of them are situated. In the Western Division, and this one really threw me off, Alabama 1, yeah, definitely. Auburn 2nd, Mississippi State 3rd, A&M 4th, LSU 5th. I mean, if LSU ends up 5th or 6th in the SEC West next season, Coach O can go ahead and start putting his house up for sale. Ole Miss 6th, Arkansas 7th. All right, Jason, anything stand out to you in those preseason rankings concerning the East? Let's talk East first.
I mean, Tennessee being ranked 6th. Again, the media perception is that Tennessee is an awful team coming off a historically bad season.
You think they're
I don't know if I'm more surprised that they ranked behind Kentucky and Missouri and 6th only ahead of Vanderbilt, or the fact that there was one media member who voted them to win the East. And that's the speculation I have, is who actually voted for them to win the East when the rest of the conference decided that they were the 6th best team in the division.
I think they messed up.
How do you mess up the first
because
place vote?
I voted, so it was...
You were the one who voted in first place?
No, hell no. But I voted, so I'm saying that the way they do it, you submit it, you slide teams over, and you can slide teams
right
out.
They've done it before as well.
Right, so I'm saying that there could be any possibility that maybe the guy messed up, or lady, who voted for Tennessee in first place. Either that, or I want what they're on.
Right. It could just be some biased student journalist for all we know. When they send them up there too,
it could be
trying
it
to break records in media attendance.
Kentucky also got the vote, which I feel like this happens all the time with Kentucky though. Missouri, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth place. I don't like that. I think Missouri.
And again, like I don't see what makes Tennessee so different than Florida. That Florida's
agreed
a consensus third best team in the SEC East ahead of Missouri, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
We're turning around 18 to 19 starters on their squad, but to me. You look at what happened last year. Show me something that – I mean, you're going to have to prove something to me before we're going to – I mean, hell, they got them third in the SEC East. Four first-place votes, you know that came from Florida.
Right.
South Carolina second, I get that because the hype is all about them this year battling Georgia. We're going to find out real early in the season how that's going to match up. Especially for the rest of the year, how you know that's going to affect the standings because whoever loses that Georgia-South Carolina game, they're technically two games back now.
Right.
So that's going to set it up pretty easily.
Yeah, that's going to be the deciding game in the
and
East.
And then the
so.
Florida-Tennessee game, whoever loses that one is two games back.
Right.
So there you go. So, you know, you'll have two teams that are two games back immediately within the first 4 weeks of the season, and that's when things start getting – a little bit hairy.
Yeah, I think the big shocking thing is that Alabama was picked to win the West. I mean, who could have saw that coming?
Yeah, I agree. Somebody wrote it in. That was probably Kyle Tucker voting UK first. I was wondering which four people had us winning the East. Came from Tony Aguilani.
Wouldn't it be surprising.
No. I don't like it. A lot of people are not sold on Missouri and all the hype they're getting. And I don't think it's a lot of hype.
I was going to say, I don't think it's really a lot of hype as much as it's they're going to be a competitive team with a good offense. So,
yeah, I agree. I think that it's their offense that what makes them stand out. And I don't think there's a lot of – Missouri. Nobody's predicting Missouri's going to win the SEC East.
Right.
You know what I mean? But to me, they're going to have the offensive firepower to make a run at some of these teams. And I said it. 2 weeks ago when we first started, I'll say it again, that Georgia trip to Columbia, Jason, is something that stands out to me. Okay, watch out. Here's a big thing. If South Carolina beats Georgia in the second week of the season, Georgia's going to be just kind of dangling out there a little bit.
Yeah, well, if I won the lottery, I'd be a millionaire. So there's a lot of ifs in life, but.
Yeah, but South Carolina actually has a good chance of beating Georgia.
I have a good chance of winning the lottery, for all you know.
You don't have a chance of winning the lottery. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not buying into all the South Carolina hype, personally. Like, I just don't see it. But
I don't see how Kentucky's ranked over
Tennessee. I really don't see any team in the SEC East that's proven anything other than Georgia. And even with them, it's like, do they really belong in that category with Alabama as a perennial contender every year from here on out because of that one season that everything played out perfectly?
Agreed. I look at it like, okay, what's the deal when it comes to Florida in third place when they finished the season horribly last year? Like, what do they see that I can't see?
I don't know. There were four first-place votes for the Gators, so, I mean, that's got to be coming out of Gainesville as well, or Orlando, or whatever media outlet in Florida.
Or it could just be come from BN Sports Network. It could be.
The what?
The BN Sports.
BN?
BN Sports, B-E-I-N.
Oh, okay.
You know the channel that carries all the USA soccer team away games that we can never, and it's always in a box? Like, it's never in HD. It's always in this small box, and I feel like I'm watching television from the early 1990s. Like, that's, don't give me my BN Sports rant
about,
right now. A lot of folks.
La Liga, Liga 1, Serie A. Oh, it's all the good soccer leagues. Yeah, they have NCAA as well. WTA as well.
They do.
All right, whatever. You learn something new every day, I guess.
Yeah, that's
I feel like
true.
That would be the thing that would be on in a barber shop in Italian, like those games. So, I don't know.
Like somebody just in there eating salami or some fresh meat.
You don't have to get stereotypical about it. I was just
I'm not
saying,
stereotypical. It's.
Yeah, you wish you had as good of salami as we have, but whatever.
Speaking of learning
stick
new
to
things.
Your Walmart cold cuts.
Mm. I was going to say, speaking of learning new things, I mentioned this to you. You the other day, Jason, but for all you listeners out there, Tracy Chapman is a woman.
Yeah, most people
Fast
know that.
Fast car song, God, she's a woman. All right, we're just letting everyone know because I know
first of
some
all,
of you all are out there like me and you've heard the song.
About to be suspended, Jason. for 5 minutes.
Why even bring that up, Brandon?
I don't even know if he's going to be able to
answer. It's a public service announcement.
If this was 1994, I can see why you would have to have that PSA.
I mean, I just found
out. Also, who doesn't know Tracy Chapman's a woman?
I didn't until about 3 days ago.
That's...
And if everyone out here listening says, you knew right away, you're lying to yourself.
I did.
Some of y'all are lying.
When I was four, I knew Tracy Chapman was a woman.
I didn't know Tracy Chapman existed when I was four.
You can't.
My mom had the CD, so...
That's the jam.
Tracy Chapman is a wonderful woman, by the way. That's a great song.
I'm sure she is.
Several great songs. How dare you?
You were on the... You made the list.
I'm just trying to help someone out there so they're not in the same boat as I am.
All right. Western...
So you felt the need for a segment to cut in with a random Tracy Chapman tidbit, huh?
Tracy Chapman Fridays.
All right, well...
You know what? Go to break. On the other side of this break, we have the legendary... WWE Hall of Famer and newly discovered Tennessee fan involved for life. I guess everybody's involved for life if you're a Tennessee fan, right? Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is coming up next. He's going to come out at 1:15 with us. He's going to call in. I'm excited. Jason's excited. Brandon's going to take a suplex outside the studio during the break, and we'll let you know how that goes. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. And you need to learn it quick. Ladies and gentlemen, newly submitted Tennessee fan. Now, I don't know how long he's been a Tennessee fan. It might have been a while, but we're just now finding out about this. East Tennessee lover, WWE Hall of Famer, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat joins us this afternoon. Ricky, how are you today, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well, thank you. Just finishing up off of my second week, to which I just had total hip replacement.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. I hope everything goes well. It sounds like, you know, at least I've seen some videos and stuff out there, so at least you're getting some, you know, hopefully taking some downtime and then, you know, and at least enjoying kind of being off your feet, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I just had my second week visit with my doctor. He took x-rays. Everything looks good. Everything stayed lined up, you know, ball and socket and all that. So he says it looks as though I'm ahead of schedule. So at least I've graduated and retired the walker, and then I went to the cane, and that's been, graduated, and now I'm hobbling around on my own. But each day it's getting better, better and better. And it's only been just a couple of weeks.
Well, fantastic. That's really good to hear. And okay, Ricky, this caught us off guard. I think it caught a lot of Tennessee fans. I think all Tennessee fans off guard is when you started tweeting out the pictures with the Power T. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in liking Tennessee football in East Tennessee and kind of give us the backstory to this because we're all excited to hear about it.
Well, let's start a little bit of a history and go way back, you know, when I was in high school, to which, you know, I grew up in St. Pete, Florida. All right.
Okay.
And, and you got the Seminoles, you got the Gators, and you got the Hurricanes down here. Never really watched a whole lot of college ball. I played football in high school, was pretty good at it. Wrestled in high school, was better at that. And then in 1975, I got into pro wrestling and did it for 20 years. And then ever since then, I've been affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment. And right now, I'm an ambassador type guy, a spokesperson for the company, to which they do a lot of fundraising, and they send me out if there's anything to do with the WWE and fundraising and to represent the company as a spokesperson. Now, I'm going to say almost 3 years ago, I met... what is now my wife, Sandy, and she's from Oak Ridge.
Perfect.
And like I said earlier, I never watched any college ball, mostly stuck with some pro stuff. Being a Florida guy, you know, I was a Dolphin kind of fan. Not big, not strong, but, you know, heading that direction if someone was to ask. And then being introduced to Sandy, and she was just such a big time, you know, Vols fan. And just us dating and the relationship being to, you know, get stronger. Then she was always tuned in to watch the Tennessee game. And then it got me to watch. And And just watching this team play, it got me hooked. And out of all the, you know, college teams that are out there today, I guess through dating and then now marriage, I'm a Tennessee Vol fan and very proud to say so. I probably have got now at least 10 or 12 different styles of Tennessee T-shirts that I wear. And you ought to see the faces that I get when I go to the gym here in Florida wearing a Tennessee shirt. you can just imagine.
I can imagine because I just moved up from Orlando myself, so I'm the same boat as you. But I have a question for you, Ricky. First of all, it's an honor. And second off, just jumping on this bandwagon at this time when we've been in kind of a downslope, how's that been for you?
Well, you're talking about the new coaching staff and so forth.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse, being a new Tennessee guy and just been really watching it just the last couple of years, and which have not been really good years for Tennessee, in my opinion. But, like anything else, everybody just, I would believe, is in a holding pattern, just let this guy give a shot, you know.
Right.
What was it? Just this last April, they had the orange and white game?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And Jarrett Garantano had a really good showing during that game, and spanked the guys 34-7 in that victory. that's a positive note. But once again, I'm a believer of this saying. And that is, a carpenter is only as good as the tools he's got to work with. You know, the carpenter in this situation is being the head coach, and then it trickles down to me, the quarterback. And everybody underneath, if they're all good tools, then we're going to, you know, that carpenter is going to be good. And, you know, the quarterback, and then it reflects back onto the head coach. So, starting with good tools, I would think that we're going to have a good team. But this being the first year with this coach, you know, there's a gray area, and we got to let him prove himself. I would think, you know, getting into the second and third year, this is, you know, it shows the direction that we're going for this team. And but I'll tell you, for me, how I became a Vols fan,
yes sir,
is I started going YouTube and some of the past games, and going all the way back to 86, you know, what was that? The Sugar Bowl.
Yep.
And we were playing Miami, and all the talk then was with Miami was, were they going to be the national champs, or were they going to be rated number one, blah, blah, blah. And sort of put Tennessee on the back burner. Well, we came out there in the Sugar Bowl and we spanked them pretty good, 35-7, you know, but leading up from that point moving forward, the volunteer name, the never give up attitude, the drama, oh my God, the fourth quarter dramas that this team has had over the years with the games that were just so close, and that how these players never gave up until the whistle was blown to pull the rabbit out of the hat and win the game.
Some would say much like a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in his prime.
Well, I've always sort of been that type of a guy. Then in a 30-minute match, 25 minutes of it, I'm getting my butt handed to me. But then that last 3 or 4 minutes, I sort of squeeze one through, which the fans loved, you know, the underdog type. But, you know, this team, you know, I think we're almost starting from scratch. And only time will tell in the next couple of years, you know, with the program and the new staffing and everything getting underway. And but that's what made me a volunteer fan, was the attitude. And I think that's almost the legacy of this club, this team over the years, is that they have that never give up attitude. You know, it's that fourth quarter drama with some of these significant games and the bowl games and the national, you know, winning the national championship in, what was that, 98?
98.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep. Here, not bad for a new guy for being on Tennessee, right?
No, you're absolutely killing the information right now.
Right. The information is just fantastic. And what it's kind of led into, Ricky, is this – what you're talking about when it comes to the never give up attitude, and it's something that you've probably learned over the last few years of getting to know the East Tennessee area and this Tennessee fan base, is this is a group of people that never give up on their team, even though things might be hard on them, even though the seasons might not have been perfect. This is still a group that rallies around the community of East Tennessee in this football team that they have here in Knoxville. And I think that just goes to show you how much passion and heart that this fan base has, something that now you're a part of. You will continue to learn even more. And I think it's just fantastic, and especially the way you're embracing it.
Well, I was just leading into that, and the way the boys out there playing and the coaching staff, then it trickles onto the fans, you know, grabbing hold of this, and the way they just keep coming out in numbers. I mean, what is it, 100,000 strong or better? And, you know, at Neyland Stadium, where it's just sold out and covered in orange, it just, I'm sitting here talking to you about it, getting choked up, and at the same time getting goosebumps. It just speaks a lot for that, you know, that area and the way they come out and support the guys.
You talked about your matches and your career, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Randy Savage WrestleMania III Intercontinental title match. Did you guys call that in the ring, or was that something you and Randy worked out beforehand? And just the build-up for that storyline was just picture-perfect.
Well, there were different circumstances, and, you know, that match back in the day, 80% of the match would have been calling it in the ring and feeling out the direction and the story that you're trying to tell. Leading up to big pay-per-views and big shows, a lot of times you get to work with the guy on some what we would call tune-up matches. And you'd work around the country and have some matches with the guy and try some stuff and feel in the crowd reaction. And if it worked, you kept it. If it didn't, you exonated it leading up to the big pay-per-view. Well, we didn't have that privilege because if you remember, the start of this angle was when Randy came off the top rope with the announcer's bell on my throat.
Right.
And so that was the beginning of the storyline. And then from that point on, it was Ricky Steamboat ever going to be able to make it back into wrestling? And then was he going to be able to make it back for WrestleMania III? And then, so Vince said, your debut is going to be WrestleMania III. In other words, we didn't have any tune-up matches. And Randy and I, the first time we ever touched each other locked up was at WrestleMania III. So getting back to, we had to start putting together just on gut feeling of the story that we're trying to tell, in with the comeback for Ricky and then the match, and then put it together and wing it and see if, you know, the final outcome was going to be what we hoped for. And, you know, through the grace of God, it came out. We intentionally wanted to go out and steal the show. We were hearing the numbers coming in of the number of tickets that were sold at the Silver Dome, you know, 90,000 plus. The pay-per-view buy rate was off the hook. So we said, we got a bunch of people watching this whole thing, and let's go out and steal the show. And I'll give where credit is due with Hogan and Andre, you know, headlining the show and our two biggest icons, you know, pulling in those big numbers. But, you know, Randy and I, we did have our part in it. And we wanted to go out and steal the show, not knowing that here it is 30-plus years later that people still just talk about that one moment, that night at WrestleMania III, to which Savage and I stole the show. But our intention was just to do it for the night, not knowing that, for me, it was still carrying forward 30-plus years later. I just wish that Randy was still around, that the two of us could share, you know, all these moments, all these appearances that I do on the weekends and go to all these different places. That's all the fans talk about. And second to that would be the matches that I had with Ric Flair.
That was going to be my follow-up.
Yeah, but the match with Savage and I was just so different, only because that was the first time we ever touched each other, and not knowing body language and how this guy likes to move in the ring, and you know, so forth and so on, which is very critical because everybody's got a different style. You know, all the different heels that I've worked with in the business, they're all different. The way they move, the way they like to move, you know, and how they like to, you know, orchestrate themselves. But this was just, you know, we're going to give it a gamble, give it a shot. And, you know, one good thing that you had a couple of good athletes. Now, Savage was a great athlete. I think he played AAA ball.
Yes, sir.
You know, at one time he was a catcher and got his knee banged up, I think. But this is, to me, what's made that match so special, because you're seeing two guys that hooked up for the very first time in their careers and to be able to pull it off.
You mentioned Ric Flair. Obviously, you were one of the most beloved babyfaces of all time. Ric Flair, one of the greatest heels in wrestling history. Just please, if you can, tell us some of your experience working with Ric and anything you can tell us on the air that's a good Ric Flair story without getting us in trouble.
Okay. 1977, I went to the Carolinas, and Flair was there, had already been there a couple of years, and was building himself to be the top heel in that area, in that territory. When I came in, he went to Crockett Promotions, said, you know, you got this new guy, Steamboat. I'd like to try something with him. And that was in March of 77. In June of 77, we did an angle on TV, and from there, it just took off. He was taking me to school every night that we worked in that first year, teaching me stuff and telling me stuff and this and that. He really started the ball rolling for Ricky Steamboat as to become a main event type guy. And that's, I give all my credit to Ric Flair for all the help that he gave me for that. A good Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair story. We were working in Charleston, South Carolina, and he hooked me up, what we call, you ever see the guy where he hooks the guy's head and he grabs him by the tight, and he lifts him straight up in the air to give him a back suplex. You guys understand that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay. Definitely.
In other words, the soles of my feet are pointing at the ceiling, and we're standing perpendicular, straight up and down, right?
Right.
And he's got I wasn't wearing long tights during that time, and he had a lot of the guys will grab your tights as something to grab onto. And
to lift you up, correct? Kind of give right. you that, yeah.
Right, and then I shoot my legs up. Now, I'm at his mercy. He's got all my body weight. He's holding me, and I don't want to wiggle, wobble, or anything like that, because you could come down wrong and land on a shoulder or a neck or something, or the wrong on the back of your head. So I'm at his mercy. And while I've got my legs straight up in the air, he's got a hold of the side of my tights. He takes them and pulls them down over to the side. Now I've got all my privates hanging out, exposed to the crowd. Now, can I say this?
Yeah, you can say privates. Yes, yeah, we're on the radio.
And then while I'm up there, he turns in all four corners before he drops me back for the suplex. But he is laughing because we are like, our heads are almost side by side each other. I'm upside down, and he is just laughing. And he's going, I got you, Steamboat. I got you, Steamboat. I don't know if he meant that he got me because of the rib or that he got me because of I'm holding you secure. Don't worry, you know?
That's awesome.
But after the match, a lot of guys had their little food stops, little 7-Eleven and something like that. And in Charleston, there was this one gas station. A lot of guys stopped to either refuel and go in and buy some snacks. So as I pull in, I see flares inside the store. And most times, if you're working with a guy, you would leave and go to another store. But there was a bunch of fans in there, and I said, the heck with this. So I pulled up, went into the store, and he's down there bent over looking at, you know, some snacks and something. And I stand him straight up, and I whip him around, and I looked at him in the face, and I said, you pull that crap on me one more time, and it's going to be a different story in the match. And I turned out and walked away, and I could just feel the heat with all the fans standing there, because they knew what I was talking about.
Right.
And they were all going, oh boy. So I get home. We didn't have cell phones back then. I get home about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and my phone rings at my house. I answer it, and it's him. He goes, Ricky. I go, yeah? He goes, are we still okay? are we okay, buddy? You know, that was just a rib thing, you know. I said, yeah, Flair. I said, here it is. I pulled one over one of the best in the business. I just, yeah. But I said, I just thought it would be good to say something like that in front of the fans that would just gather around you.
You got to protect the business, man.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I had one more question. I'm a big fan of the NXT product, and I just wanted to ask you about your son Richie, was one of the first major prospects to come out of that PC. Unfortunately, his career was cut short to injury. What did you tell him as far as preparing for retirement and just you're working with the younger talent in WWE now?
Well, you know, obviously, he had suffered four herniated discs in his back off of one move. He was doing a moonsault and overshot it, over-rotated, which resulted in that. And, you know, he's a very positive guy. I know my son pretty well. He wanted to carry on the name, but, you know, he's working for a company back to North Carolina for Publix. That's a big food chain down here in Florida, but they have now ventured north.
And, we have one.
We have plenty up here.
Yep. Figured into management there, getting his real estate license. So moving forward, he's going to be okay. Although, you know, I think today's wrestlers, the shelf life is not like as long as such as me, Savage or Flair, you know, Hogan's, all the guys that, you know, we put in 20 plus years. I just think the shelf life now of guys is 7 or 8 years, maybe. And it's only because the school has a bunch of talent. I think there's like about 100 guys there, and everybody's waiting for a slot to open up. And it's just to keep fresh talent coming in. So the shelf life of a guy to put in, you know, a 20-year run, I think is going to be hard to do. But, you know, keeping fresh talent going. But to get, you know, these guys that are down there, there's a bunch of guys with great athletic ability. Everybody can do almost everything in the ring. The biggest challenge that each of them have is to find that character that the fans can identify. And you know what I mean by character. There was the Savages and the Flairs and the Undertakers and the Triple H's and the Shawn Michaels and the Ricky Steamboats. Everybody had their own niche. And for those guys down there, that's my biggest advice is when they talk to me about it, I said, try and find that character that is different from the guy you're standing next to, that the fans can grasp. You know, I'll give you an example. Bray Wyatt. Look at the character that he is with that New Orleans Bayou swamp guy, right?
Cult leader, yes, sir.
Yeah, and I know that he has tried probably two or three other characters. You know, when the WWE would call him up from the school and take a look, and they'd send him back down. But there's a character that the fans has really taken a hold to with, you know, with that type of character. So we got a lot of guys that are very good in the ring, but the biggest thing is to find who they are so that the fans can cling to and make them different.
That's a perfect way to say it, and a perfect example too with Bray Wyatt, who played football at Troy University, the Troy Trojans, down in Lower Alabama. So there's kind of a connection between the football and the professional wrestling and entertainment.
Yeah, he was, you know, for a big guy, he's a good athlete, you know. And, and he's one of the guys you can talk to and you can see his light bulbs click on, you know. And there's some guys you could sit and have a discussion with about maybe you ought to try this or that, and that may work for you. And you get the deer in the headlight look, you know. But there's just certain guys in the business that you can sit and give them examples, and you can see it to which, yeah, that, you know, and actually go out there and try it and perform it right to the way you explained it. And Bray Wyatt's one of those type of guys.
That's
Seth Rollins had my hand in helping him out down at the school. You know, he's another guy that that we use the term in our business that gets it, you know.
Well, it seems like what's going to have to happen now is you're going to have to get together with Glenn Jacobs, and you'll have to get together with Kevin Nash, and then you've got your own little stable of Tennessee professional wrestlers now, Tennessee fans. And I think the way that the Vol community has taken you in, and the way that you've done this through social media is absolutely fantastic. And on our end, we want to invite you whenever you want to come this season. You let us know. I got a pair of 45-yard line tickets in Neyland Stadium that I would love to give to you to any game you'd like to come to this season. So you just let us know, and we'll get you involved here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and we'll have ourselves a great time once you get that hip, everything worked out in there and your physical therapy done. But we look forward to having you at Neyland Stadium in our tailgate parties with us this year for Tennessee football.
Well, you know, that's an invite that I will not turn down. I'm going to look at my schedule with my up-and-coming bookings that I have and pick a game to which I have that weekend open.
Yep.
I think right now I've got to go all the way into November as the way things are looking in my bookings. But certainly, you know, would love to rub shoulders with you guys and put a, what is it, put a name with a face or a face with a name.
Absolutely. With, yes, sir.
Get to meet you guys.
Absolutely. There's two home games in November, so you just look at the schedule and you text or DM me, and we'll more than happy to have you sit with us and hang out with us, and I'm sure all the fans would love to see you. But we so appreciate you coming on today and talking Tennessee football and talking about your career. Is there anything that you're doing right now in Florida or for the WWE that you would like to promote and let people know about? I saw a video that you had put out the other day down in Florida. If you want to promote that as well, the floor is yours, sir.
Just trying to save some green space here in our community, in our neighborhood behind us. There's a golf course that was here for a number of years, and these new developer guys said they tried to make a go of it and couldn't, so they shut it down, and now they want to put houses and condos and build it all up. We got very little green space here in the Pinellas County area, and we just are banding together. They tried in 2014, they were unsuccessful. They tried to change the zoning from recreational to residential. And here they are trying it again. And we just like to keep the space as it is. We got a lot of wildlife here that's threatened, and they live here because they can live here in peace and prosper. And if they start developing it, when it's all gone, it'll never come back, and we may be losing some. So with what little space we have here, we just want to keep it like the way Mother Nature wanted it.
Well, I'll make sure to we'll put out a link through our website and on your Twitter page. And listen, we sure appreciate you. Tell your wife thank you for getting you introduced to East Tennessee and Tennessee football. And we'll make sure to get you a couple more shirts and, you know, a couple pairs of shorts down there to you for your trip up to East Tennessee. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for having me, you know, VFL, right?
Yes, sir. There you go. Anytime.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
That was Ricky the Dragon. So much to talk about when we get outside
really great,
the break. Yeah. I can't get started now. I'm too excited. That was absolutely fantastic. We'll go back over the story that he talked about with Ric Flair, because I think people need to hear that again. We're going to have this interview up for you probably in the next 20 to 30 minutes. But absolutely fantastic interview with new Vol for Life, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. I hope it wasn't optional for the last 25 minutes. Fantastic interview.
Felt much less than that, obviously.
It did, man.
That went right by.
And I DM'd him, and then he texts me. I forget my number, and I told him thank you for coming on. And
the Randy Savage comment.
He looks forward to coming back on again. So, you know, and he's going to come to a Tennessee game with us, which is a lot of fun.
That Randy Savage comment hit me hard, man. I love Randy Savage.
Yeah, I agree. And then the story about pretty much Ric Flair putting him up in a suplex and all of his manhood was hanging out when he was getting walked around the ring before he got slammed.
That protective business, man.
Protective business, right. Rolls up to a 7-Eleven.
That would never happen today.
And back in the day, you know, there wasn't websites and internet. You know,
TMZ,
the internet.
Yeah.
So, you know,
no,
you have
TMZ now would be like, you know, Seth Rollins hanging out with Dolph Ziggler at a 7-Eleven.
Right, so it was like the persona he had to keep up with, and he walks in there to keep up with the storyline and gives the business to Ric Flair, it was fantastic to hear those stories, but also how he just got involved with Tennessee football. And here's the thing, too. He didn't try to fake his knowledge.
No, not at all.
He said, you know, I got involved with Tennessee when I started dating my now wife.
Right.
And he started going back and YouTubing videos of Tennessee games.
Right.
He started with the Sugar Bowl versus Miami.
Absolutely, yeah.
And kind of moved on from there and talked about, he talked about the coaching. And I think this is perfect that he's talking about being a carpenter.
Right.
And Jeremy Pruitt has the tools. Mm-hmm. He's got his coaching staff around him. He's got his players. Now it's all about putting that all together.
Well, that was the thing. He, like, set the bar low with how much knowledge he had and then exceeded expectations by a mile.
Exactly. Like, I thought.
He sold himself short, saying, I don't really know as much as you think. And then, like,
then he
went
comes
on
out
about,
nails the orange and white game.
Do you remember the 1984 game between.
Yeah. And then he nails the orange and white game.
He killed
score,
it, man.
And he's talking about Jerry Garantano whipping that tail. I mean, that was fantastic. And we truly appreciate him coming on. He'll be up here November. He said he'll clear out some time and he'll be hanging out with us, and we got some tickets for him. I know I do. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you get excited for something like that, because what you're doing is, especially if you just live in East Tennessee, it's more about people getting used to the community and getting in the area and seeing what the people are all about. That's something that I've come to know over the last couple weeks being here, and then over the weekends that I was here, you know, over the last 25 years, that the people of East Tennessee are fantastic. And that's just kind of what he played to. But it was funny, you know, Jason, he said he walks into all these gyms down in, you know, the middle of Florida with Tennessee gear on, you know, and people giving them looks like, what are you doing? I think it's fantastic the way that his wife, you know, has got him into
absolutely
to SEC football. And
happy wife, happy life, though.
So right, I mean, exactly. And you know, he sounded upbeat too, especially coming off hip replacement. So that was a positive. But it was funny when he said he graduated from a walker to a cane to now he's just kind of hobbling around.
And knows the words to Rocky Top and everything.
Right, knows the words to Rocky Top and stuff. It's just like, wow, okay, you know, so that. Brandon's working on it, and we'll get that up. But it was we appreciate him coming on now. And, man, I don't know what else to say. I think it's neat about how much he knew and how much he's researched Tennessee football. And folks, sometimes you have to have these type of things where interviewing somebody like Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. For everybody out there that says most people our age or older are going to know who he is, and to have somebody on like that and tell the stories, you know, that he did, that's just cool in itself. But
right.
They'd also be able to talk college football, and he was a fan of the Dolphins back in the day. Then kind of, I imagine his schedule. He didn't have a lot of time to watch football.
Right. Exactly.
Back in the day.
Yeah, even still today, what he was saying, he's booked until November. He's going to do the
indie
shows.
He does
and stuff.
Appearances.
And he has to do stuff for WWE as well.
Right,
so.
He does appearances. He was in Knoxville recently for an appearance. So, we appreciate him coming on. It sets you back a little bit, kind of for a loss of words, Jason.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And, you know, that was the thing. Like, we went into it plugging it as Ricky Steamboat talks about Tennessee. We wanted to get some wrestling in there, and he gave us more than enough. But like,
who doesn't remember
fact
WrestleMania 3? Hogan lifting, you know, that
I wasn't born, so I know it from watching it on the network and stuff. But I know
But like somebody else pointed out on Twitter at Sean Reed, he got choked up when he started talking about Tennessee.
Right.
Like he got choked up.
But that's what I'm saying.
Goosebumps.
Like we wanted to give him the platform to talk about Tennessee, and we didn't expect it to be
as much
and as detailed as he went into.
No, I didn't. I honestly expected this to be, okay, my wife gave me some T-shirts,
right,
kind of deal. I'm just wearing them just because I'm wearing them. But go Vols, anyways. No, Ricky comes off the top rope with all these fantastic quotes on spring games and new coaching staffs and knowing about the Miami-Tennessee Sugar Bowl and YouTube and video. That blew me away. No, right. that was very cool. So we're going to start doing this on Fridays now. We're going to start getting some Vol for Lifes out there just in the Tennessee area, you know, that kind of are involved a little bit in the SEC, not just Tennessee, but kind of Florida and Alabama and Auburn, just people you wouldn't expect. Celebrity wise. So the interview is up now. It is up on our podcast page. It's up on our Twitter page, and we'll get that thing posted to Facebook as well. So if you want to go back and check out the interview, we'll get this retweeted out to everybody right now. I'm sure Jason will do it here in just a second from the It's Optional page. And but on the other side of what we're going to do is in the next hour, we're going to kind of break down a little bit more on these SEC champion and the preseason media days, all SEC team. We're going to hit on some news of the day that's out there. Kind of wrap up this week a little bit. Second week of It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville. I think it's been fantastic. It's been fun. And we're just getting started. So that's the big thing about it. But there's a couple players on some list out here, offensive first team and defensive first teams. It kind of threw me off guard a little bit when it comes to the SEC. So what we'll do is on the other side of the break, other side of the hour, we'll break this down and we'll take your calls too. If you want to call in and give your opinion on anything, if you want to talk about the interview we just put up with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, give us a call, 865-546-8200. Call in. We'll talk any kind of questions y'all might have or any kind of comments. More than happy to answer them, and we'll just talk about this more if you want to. This is It's Optional on Fox Sports Knoxville.